The university tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of AV and IT, helping everybody out on campus 24/7, it's Professor Chuck Hockett.
Hi, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being here, Chuck. To his right, from the College of Creative Studies in downtown Detroit, it's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here as always.
Excellent. Want to tell everybody on the air about your idea for swag and see if it catches on?
Oh, I was thinking about doing Ask the Professor Pocket Protector.
There we go.
What do you think? Huh? I actually dummied one up. I sent it to Matt the other night. So
it's he sent me the. It's actually not just the pocket protector. It's in
motion. Person
it's
with
on a shirt. You know, it's a pretty interesting
with
deal.
The little widgets and diodes and all the little gauges.
If I use one of those, I might not be covered with chalk at the end of teaching logic.
Or high from using the markers. I mean, it's damn or be damned. Around
exactly.
There, of course, that's the voice of our professor of philosophy, Professor Beth Oljar.
Good to be here.
How has your first third of the term gone, Beth?
So far, so good.
Good.
Everybody seems excited in my logic classes. So.
Oh, very good. And that's going well?
Yeah. We added another section unexpectedly because the first one closed. Mm-hmm. For 80 seats between two sections, I got 65 students. So wow. I'm totally psyched.
I'm constantly talking to my chemistry students about making sure they take the logic class. It's a must for a scientist,
wow.
A must.
Logic, well, yeah, but then, of course, there's all the homework and all the grading. And
gosh forbid.
You know.
To Beth's right, from the Department of Communication Studies, it's Professor Jason Roach.
Glad to be here, as always, Matt. You can't see me wave, but I'm waving.
He waves every time.
So bad.
He's so friendly, ladies and gentlemen.
That radio thing.
Yes, exactly.
Jeez.
Sorry.
Well, at least he's not doing the parade queen wave.
Right.
So at least it's a little, it's okay.
It's a very hearty wave.
I'm doing in my hand is a map of Michigan wave.
Right.
And last but most certainly not least, from the Department of Economics, Professor Mike DiGiovanni.
Pleasure to be here. I stayed up all night last night studying every trivia question.
Excellent.
Gosh.
All right. He's a ringer. He's a ringer.
All right.
We'll take a ringer because where we left things with 20 questions from Anonymous was a very interesting place. I had asked, who is the largest private landowner in New York City? And probably before we do that, we should say how you can send us questions, because that's important too. This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything like, I don't know, New York City. If you stump the panel, you win a t-shirt prize. And if you don't, you win a t-shirt prize. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP and submit your questions HTML. You can fax the professor at 313-993-1144. Or you can send the questions USPS to Michael Jason, College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. So when I asked who was the largest private landowner in New York City, Jason had said Columbia University, which is number two. Who is the first?
NYU.
Not NYU.
Not the Catholic Church.
It's the Catholic Church.
Oh.
Indeed, it is the Catholic Church. Yes. Way, way up there. I mean, how much land actually is there in New York City? I don't know.
St. Patrick's Cathedral is one, but they must have many more.
I mean, if there's lots of churches, they technically own all that property, right?
Yes.
So
right.
That must add up.
They didn't get any subprime mortgages.
Yes. I think they may have paid them off by now.
Yes.
What famous state governor was born James George Janos? Midwestern state, in fact. I lived there for a short while.
Oh, is it...
Looks like.
No, the guy, Jesse Ventura?
Yeah, it's Jesse Ventura, former governor of Minnesota.
He's got a reality show now.
Yeah, no.
He has a reality show?
Didn't he have medical condition?
I mean, I lived in the state during the time when he was governor, and I thought, being a Michigander and seeing that he won several years previous, that it was quite interesting, a third-party candidate. But that state did not care for him one bit. The way the votes break down... whoever is the majority vote getter after X number of cuts wins. And so it was a shock the world kind of thing. And I don't think there was a majority of people who wanted him in office.
How many terms was he in office?
Just one, except for it was 6 years. So.
Well, and I associate him with the, I mean, other than the wrestling, with his role in Predator.
Yes. Come on, no one's going to say the line. I ain't got time to bleed.
That's right.
Yeah.
I ain't got time to bleed.
What animal species has the term flyer for the mother and boomer for the father?
Wow.
Not Homo sapiens.
I don't think it's humans. You might be able to pull a little bit out of these names here.
Sounds like a bird.
Boomer. Kangaroos, yeah.
Oh,
spot on. That's a good one. Absolutely. I believe then the kid would be a joey, right? Very interesting animals, marsupials.
Australians.
Too much time on their hands.
Actually, if the Detroit Zoo has taught me anything with their immersive kangaroo experience, it's that kangaroo is actually a string of syllables that the Aboriginals used to mean something totally different than what it is. They said, what is this animal? And they said kangaroo, which meant, like, it's lying around, is what that word means, instead of what it actually is called. Very interesting.
Wow. Who knew?
What U.S. organization has the most members? It's kind of a broad
organization.
Question.
Does this mean form of government, like a government
branch? No, we're talking about something independent.
UAW? Catholic Church? Oh, no.
Actually, you're on the right track, Chuck, with the UAW. It's not the UAW, but...
Teamsters?
No, not a union. A group of people who get
together. Masons?
Knights of Columbus? Veterans?
Elks? How about if I say this?
Elks? Rotarians?
I would give you the initials, but that might give it away. The initials are the name of the organization.
EFW.
The PTA?
It'd probably come first in the phone book.
AAA.
Automobile Association. Nice. Absolutely.
I'm a proud member.
There you go. See?
And you didn't even know. No. You didn't even know you were that popular.
Yeah. I'm with the gecko.
What famous food packaging does the likeness of Ann Turner Cook appear? What famous food packaging does the likeness of Ann Turner Cook appear on?
Betty Crocker stuff?
Is not she Betty Crocker, Crocker, but you're on the right track.
Little Debbie?
Ooh, little is good.
Dolly Madison?
Think littler than Little Debbie.
Little Debbie.
Microscopic Debbie.
Teeny, tiny, tiny, tiny,
very small snacks. No, I'm talking about age when I say get littler. Littler than a little girl would probably be...
Baby
Ruth.
Not Baby Ruth.
There's no likeness on Baby Ruth.
Oh, Gerber Baby
Food. Gerber Baby Food. There she is. Still kicking on that label. Year 2010. Young I want to say that was pre-World War II. Yeah,
exactly.
It's true. According to what we have here in front of us, what is the average age of a new grandparent in the United States? If only Professor Boats were here, we could solve this mathematically. But
how?
Well, I think that you could talk about generational spans and the time when people start having children and probably dial that back a little bit versus the past.
Okay, you get married at, say, 18 or 20 at the earliest.
I'm
still waiting here.
We got Mike saying the 50s, and I got to tell you, according to this, we have to dial that back a little bit.
I would say close to, like, 40s, 35.
Not the baker's dozen again.
We have 47 here.
Wow.
And even if that's slightly true, I'm scared.
Yeah. That's true.
Because I'm only a few years away from being a grandparent. I'm just going to, sort of come out and say that. That doesn't compute really in my head right now. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
That's scary.
I'm sure that some modicum of truth is in this because, people are having children at earlier ages. How many time zones are used in the United States of America? Let's just go for the total, and then we'll worry about naming them later.
Oh, man.
Well, there's at least three.
There's at least four.
Oh, yeah.
Four in the continental US, but then what about Alaska?
Alaska has three of its own, I think.
Pacific, Mountain, Central, East.
I don't know how they equate with Hawaii.
Is that a separate one?
It's Pacific.
Does this include American Samoa?
Ooh. It does include all territories of the
and
United
Puerto
States.
Rico.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say 12. The sun never sets on the American time.
It just keeps circling
around. It's a little bit lower than 12.
All right.
Five.
It's not five, though. It's higher than five.
It's got to be 10.
It's 9.
I was close.
Okay. And I think apparently we have property that's on Atlantic Standard Time over in the far Atlantic Maritime Zone. Then we have Eastern, Central. mountain, and Pacific. Where do we go from there? Alaska.
Let's say Alaska.
Well, Hawaii Aleutian.
Oh.
Samoan has its own time zone. Wow. And Chamorro, which I believe has American Saipan in it. So, yeah, all of these are actually given with their Greenwich Mean Time deviations, and that's pretty hardcore. Nine total. What can I say?
Pretty hardcore on time zones.
On time zones. Time zones, very important. Yeah, thank you, Ben Franklin.
I can't even stay in my own time zone, much less figure out the other ones.
Can I ask this, even though I'm supposed to be the host here? Do people who you meet from other time zones, other parts of the country, even the world, are they surprised that Detroit is in the eastern time zone?
Yes, my family can never figure that out. Yeah.
They think we're in central, don't they?
Yeah, they think we're central, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Like, oh yeah, it's 3 hours later for you. Yes, so it's midnight for me.
Don't
call me.
Oh my. Well, there you go. It could be even worse. Could be Alaskan time, and you know, there's only a half hour of darkness every day.
That's right. Not quite that far west, but right. Yeah.
In the Wizard of Oz books, what is the Tin Woodsman's real name? I believe it is a play on words from how Dorothy discovers him.
It's not Eugene, is it?
It is not Eugene.
All right.
That would be a great name.
Floyd, thing there, the album.
Well, do you remember how Dorothy finds him, at least in the movie, what action he is taking?
He's
sort of frozen at that time?
In the field.
He's in the field. He's doing field. Something.
Squeaking, right?
No. He's not moving at all, isn't he?
He's rusted.
He's frozen?
Right, but he's frozen doing something, in the act of doing something.
He's rusted shut. Oh, good Lord. Oh, no.
He's using his axe, ladies and gentlemen. Oh. He's chopping. His last name is Chopper, which makes sense.
Okay.
And something you might...
His first name is Orange County?
No. All right. Good,
O.C.
No, let's pretend like you're using an axe and you accidentally cut yourself. You might say, I gave myself a...
Nick.
A Nick. His name is Nick Chopper. Yes. It makes sense.
When you said that, though, about that coming up, not coming out, it made me think of the scene in Iron Man where Gwyneth Paltrow comes in and he stops and he looks at her and he goes, this is not the worst thing you've seen me do.
You're talking about the one where she kisses the helmet, throws it over, you know, and then he follows after it. Is that the one you're talking about?
Is it Iron Man 2 that you're talking about?
No, the first one.
Oh, the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. I think he's just come back from his first trial with the suit, and she comes in while he's...
flying in midair.
Getting out of it or something like that, and he just looks at her and he says, this is not the worst thing you've ever seen me do.
What's the more common name of the singer Marvin Lee Adey? Or Adey?
Marvin Gaye? Yeah.
Nope.
Ah.
Nope.
Not Bo Diddley.
Does start with an M, though. It's a one-word name. It starts Marvin with an M.
I know it's not Madonna.
No, it's not Madonna. Marvin Lee Adey. Whenever I hear the three names in a row, it sort of sounds like we're talking about someone who tried to assassinate the president. Especially their middle name is Lee, but starts with M, one word. Any ideas?
Kind of a singer.
I think as we think about that, we're going to have to take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
The University of Detroit Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. Questions today about Melville, Charles Dickens, Tolstoy, and the Cambrian rocks. How's that? Today's panel, I'm the man with all of the questions and most of the answers, Bill Raby. On my right, history professor Frederick H. Hayes.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Professor Hayes. On my left, Russell McLaughlin of the University of Detroit Green Room Programs.
How do you do, I'm sure?
Yes. Thank you, Professor McLaughlin. And our middle man again, Professor John Mahoney of the University of Detroit English Faculty.
With approval of that, certainly. How do you do?
All of the questions used on this program are submitted by listeners. If you stump the expert, you will receive a subscription to a national magazine, The Atlantic, Harper's, or America. Now, this message from the University of Detroit. Thank you. This question is from Carl Budd, B-U-D-D, of Detroit, Michigan. Actually, he sent three questions, and again, we warn the listener, if you're going to send three, send them all in one batch.
You can't divide 16 by 3.
No, but you can divide the sheets on which he writes them into three.
Yeah, but each one was sent in a separate envelope, you see.
Yeah, so he's wasting 12 cents there.
Yeah. I see what you mean, Fred, yeah. I bow to that brilliant piece.
Send them all in one envelope.
Brilliant piece of economic mathematics.
In Charles Dickens' Pickwick Papers, what was the name of the law firm which represented the plaintiff, Mrs. Bardell?
Oh, that was, wait a minute, the, give me a little tiny clue, will you?
Well, you may have a little trouble seeing the whole thing clearly. It may be sort of misted over.
Dim and dimmer.
Wait a minute. Just a minute. Will you give me the first name of the firm?
Dodson.
These questions.
Dodson and Fogg. All right. Dodson and Fogg.
All right. Half credit for that.
And we are back trying to figure out the common name of the singer Marvin Lee Adday. One word starts with an M, and I'll just go with great gusto into the fact that it might help you to know this is something you might have for dinner tonight.
Meatloaf.
Meatloaf is the answer.
Oh, that was going to make a movie.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if I had a name like Marvin Lee Adday, I would seriously consider, you know, at least couscous or something.
Mealworm.
But I won't do that.
That's my homage to South Park, that claimed that in his younger days he went by couscous, something a little more.
Oh, right, and his chef was the one who told him that meatloaf might be a better name.
Like Manicotti or
Chef introduces Elton John to Bernie Taupin, and yeah.
So, what is the only book of the Bible, according to these questions here, that doesn't mention wine? Apparently, there's only one, and I think that's fascinating.
Wow.
So wow. All the mentioned booze. I wish that I could tell you this is divinable by the content of the book, but it's not Habakkuk or Zephaniah or Kings 2.
Old Testament, New Testament.
It is Old Testament, and it starts with the letter J.
Jeremiah?
Not Jeremiah.
Job?
We're on our way. All we got to do is name all the J. What if I mentioned the word fish?
Jonah.
Jonah. You. The book of Jonah apparently does not mention wine.
Meatloaf? No, we're talking fish. I'm getting hungry.
I could use some wine.
You know, really?
White wine.
And he lived in a fish.
You know, the very first experiment my students do in the organic lab is distillation, and sooner or later it just hits you when you're teaching something like that. It's, human beings have done this for about 6,000 or 7,000 years. This is a pretty ancient technique, which hasn't changed that much. So
Jonah, there's no
wine is a big deal. It's a big deal. What is the southernmost state capital of the United States?
State capital.
Does this continental United States, you said?
Baton Rouge.
I believe we're talking about the continental United States. Yes.
San Antonio?
And it's in the southern
right
part.
State? Wrong city?
Oh, that other one where they have the football team, Austin.
Austin, yes. Austin, Texas, teams. Indeed. I want to say that because of the international dateline, that Honolulu is both the easternmost, the westernmost, and the southernmost, if you take it into account. Oh, yeah. Just not the northernmost because of the way you cross over international dateline. I don't know. Whatever.
That would be a great
coming
one.
Back to me from the second grade.
Geographically challenged.
Exactly. Out of the 1,700 poems that Emily Dickinson wrote, how many were published in her lifetime, individual poems, published while she was alive?
This is a trick question.
She wasn't very popular.
None?
I'm going to say 5.
Wow, 7. I'll give it to you.
Wow.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There you go.
Nice, Mike.
1,700 poems. And what do all 1,700 poems have in common? Come on.
They were written by her.
She had a certain beat to her poems that could be read along to Yankee Doodle. You can read every single one of her poems perfectly.
Really?
I heard a fly buzz when I died. I mean, you can just do every single one of them to that. I'm not joking.
How do you know
this? This was a discovery of one of my peers in high school.
That sounds like a PhD.
We had to do a declamation, right? And it's like, well, I'm just going to read this and I'm going to sing it. That's interesting. Every single one of her poems was written with the same beat pattern, all 1,700 of them.
Wow, I didn't
know. Weird stuff.
I think in poetry it's referred to as meter.
Thank
but
you.
I could be wrong.
No, you are right.
And the we same beat.
Well, you know, I.
It's a layman terms. I mean,
I'm just going to call it meter loaf.
We're missing an English prof. Are you listening to us out there? Which U.S. president once owned a Christmas tree farm? This is a popular bit of trivia. Let's see. 30s, 40s, 50s to narrow it down real quick.
40s is going to be FDR.
Yeah, big chunk of the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Yeah, that's right.
the 40s, I'm like, was there another president in the 40s?
Well, yeah, tried to narrow it down there. It was FDR, apparently, owned a Christmas tree farm. It's kind of an interesting job.
I keep on thinking Christmas.
All right, the seeds are planted.
The movie's coming up again.
See you back in a few years.
My family bought that movie. It's so hilarious.
What movie is this?
Christmas Story. Oh, I have to watch it every year.
I want to get one of those leg lamps so bad, but my wife would kill
you
me.
I've seen them.
I keep on looking at them. My wife keeps on giving me the evil glance.
In fact, when I was moving this summer, every time I wrote Fragile on the box, I kept thinking, Fragile!
It must be Italian.
I think it's Italian.
Isn't there a station? I want to say it's TBS. They play Christmas Story for
24 straight hours.
It's so funny. It's crazy. Just classic Americana.
It is. Was it, what's his name? Gene Shepard, right? Classic humorist, wrote the screenplay. What country has the largest amount of active volcanoes?
Oh.
Gonna have to think about a country that's on some sort of fault line or something.
Indonesia.
Wow. Yeah, that's it. Whoa, it's Indonesia.
Come on, nailing it.
Way to
Absolutely. I'm wondering what that number is. I know the United States has at least a handful, so Indonesia, they're on a big fault line. That would be a big deal.
I was in Hawaii when St. Helens erupted, so that's we just came deal. Back Good to place. Find, Good you know, place. 3 inches of ash all over. Wow.
You're kidding me. Even where you lived?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I have no idea where you were at the time.
In Portland.
Oh, okay.
So Portland got that much?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We got a ton of ash.
I think it's kind of interesting that you live in sort of that kind of a zone, but you were actually in Hawaii when the volcano erupted. Right. You're living up there.
Family vacation. There just you go. Sort of our good
you got,
luck.
You had insider knowledge, didn't you? It's time to bug out. Yeah,
but it's great when you're driving north, you can always tell St. Helens from the other mountains because it's flat. I mean, it just has this huge chunk off the top
of it. I've flown over it. You know, and it's like it's just gone. It's like this big bowl there right about now. It's like, it's pretty amazing.
And technically still active, if I remember correctly. It's going to do it again. Just a matter of time.
Just not in our lifetimes. Not going to wood.
I don't know.
But isn't Rainier going eventually?
Rainier's still technically active,
is it still
gurgly?
I just remember sitting in like downtown Seattle and you could see it off in the distance. And it's just like, oh, it's going to go sooner or later.
in the middle of your Starbucks.
Let me get my clam fritters. I'm out of here.
Wouldn't dare rain ash on Starbucks in Never Seattle.
Professors, the more we listen to the clips, no matter how ancient they may seem on the commercials, the more we realize our main weakness is sports, but we'll give this one a try anyway. What is the price of a ticket if you wanted to go to the very first Super Bowl? You can help me out with the year too, because that might help you.
$10.
Okay, this is
first Super Bowl.
It was $12 a seat.
Wow. Yeah,
that was $12. Well,
we're
remember
up
the
Super
year?
Super Bowl 30 something.
No, 60 was here in Detroit.
Green Bay. 65. Green Bay, Kansas City,
67.
Or something like that.
1967.
All right. The XL, remember?
And so what were the tickets?
Tickets were $12.
Wow. Amazing. I can remember going to concerts for that much money, though.
Sure.
I would have been happy to pay $12 to go to Super Bowl 40.
Oh, tickets are already pricey enough for Michigan State here in Ann Arbor. A student was bragging to me that they had hoisted $380 to be on the sideline. And
ouch.
At that point, it's just, you know, I'm at home. Here's the fridge. Here's the TV.
I don't have quite a crowd.
That's right.
I believe the joke from The Simpsons actually is Grandpa observing in 1967, I can't help you with your homework, Homer. I have to watch this thing on TV, otherwise it may not succeed. The sport that was made for television, the NFL. Yep. Yes.
Oh, I thought pro wrestling was made for television.
Well, yeah. It's fabricated by television. Right. You know?
That's who I'd go for it.
Apparently, Connecticut has an official state insect. Let's give that one a go, shall we?
It's not the
mosquito?
The deer tick.
It's not the deer tick.
All right.
It's sort of a... I almost said a popular insect. I didn't mean
is
to say
is it useful
popular.
Or revolting?
Honeybee.
It's one of the more revolting ones. It's very well known for post-mating. The female destroys and eats the male.
Oh.
Black Jesus. Widow spider?
Well, yeah.
No. It's an insect. It's not
praying
an arachnid.
Oh, that's right.
Praying mantis.
Yeah.
Most people think praying mantises are pretty gross with those.
They're pretty gross.
Yeah, apparently.
They eat themselves?
Yeah, the wives eat the husbands, and that's the end of it.
That's
using
nice.
Those terms loosely.
But they don't get their husband's weight in
it keeps
beer.
No, they do not. All right. They do not drink too heavily.
The battle of the sexes is over with the praying mantises, obviously.
So they have a zero divorce rate.
That's right.
Exactly. Baseline. Can't beat it.
I bet they have a lot of single male praying mantises, too. Mm-hmm.
Come here often? Not anymore.
What is the widest waterfall in the world?
Niagara Falls?
It is wide. It is not Niagara Falls.
Oh.
I want to go out there and say I'm guessing the reason why is because there are still formations in between the individual falls. There's the main horseshoe and the side one, the American. And I believe that this is going to beat that because this says it's basically a mile wide, which is just unfathomable, frankly.
It's not. Is it in the U.S.?
It is not in the U.S.
South America?
Not South America. Keep thinking.
Africa.
Famous waterfalls. Yes, it's in Africa.
Around Lake Victoria, is there
Victoria Falls.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's the widest?
Spot on. That's a mile, is what it says. Wow. That's
it's also the highest, isn't it?
Deeply
disturbing. Is it the largest waterfall in the world as well?
I thought it was the highest.
Isn't the highest one in Venezuela the one where the...
Was it? I don't know.
From the Pixar movie, Up.
Is it?
Squirrel? Squirrel?
Now that was, was that Angel
I know exactly
Falls?
What you're referring to, but I can't remember what it was called.
Angel Falls.
Angel Falls, isn't it? It's over like a mile or something?
I thought it was Paradise Falls.
Paradise Falls is what they called it in the movie.
Yeah, but the actual...
Wonderful movie, by the way. Very wonderful movie. You know, you see these things on the waterfalls on History Channel or whatever, and you see how far back they move over a certain amount of time, and the way Niagara Falls used to look like 100 years ago, 200 years ago. It's kind of freaky. They're in a constant state of erosion, right?
Well, so speaking of distance, how far will we... Isn't the position of the moon changing at a small amount?
Yes.
Like every year?
Like an inch or two a year or something like that.
At what point would the Earth not be in its gravitational orbit? When do I have to start worrying about tides, in other words?
I think we don't have to worry about
civilians.
Okay, I'll be dead, so I won't have to worry about it.
Don't worry about it. The tides and menopause and all that stuff, it won't even...
Well, I think that the problem with that way of thinking has to do with the fact that inches don't really matter when you get to objects that large, at least, not in our lifetime.
If I were not a complete idiot with respect to science, I probably would have known that. But
Well done, professors. I'm looking and seeing out of 20, only two wrong, and I'm smart enough to know that that ends, and we beat that 70% easily. Ooh. So let's say goodbye, Professor DiGiovanni.
Pleasure being here.
Professor Roach.
Goodbye, and I hope Anonymous gets a t-shirt that fits.
Professor Oljar.
See you next week.
Professor Chow.
Fair chance. If we beat him, he gets an ill-fitting t-shirt.
Professor Hockett.
Hey, had a great time.
101 reasons to send questions to Ask the Professor. Reason number 12. Instant fame. That's right. When your name is read on the air, thousands, no, hundreds of listeners across the country will hear it. How do I be famous, you may ask? Well, it's easy.
Send your questions to Ask the Professor, care of the Communication Studies Department at University of Detroit Mercy. 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221. Or email them to atp@udmercy.edu. We look forward to reading your questions on Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo. See you then. Thank you.